Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Look, we have a band. Wherever you are this morning, worship with us.
Amen. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a joy it is to be in worship with you today. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague Dee Dee Roberts will be along here shortly to deliver today's message on this, the third week of Epiphany. We hope that this time together for you, though it may be virtual and wherever you may be and however you may be dressed, we hope that it is a blessing to you as we gather to worship a holy and loving God. Please join me for a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, for this moment, for this opportunity to gather as your beloved children, to raise our voices together in worship and praise to you. God, we ask that you are with us this morning, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are in us and guide us, transform us into the image you call us to be, which is the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his holy name. Amen. And now, if you would, please take a moment and enjoy this video from our Bishop, Gary Mueller.
As the people called Methodist in Arkansas, is to be on our knees praying and confessing and repenting, and to wade into the middle, in the midst of the polarization, to bring reconciliation. I've been with you over 8 years now, and I know your character, and I know your heart, and I know your faith. And every time you pray, and every time you seek reconciliation, you are giving a glorious witness to the Lord, and you are planting seeds of hope. Pray with me. Lord, we give you thanks for the great reconciling, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We confess our own sin in how we view others and treat others. We confess our nation's failings in so many ways. And we seek your forgiveness, and we seek to live in a new way. So fill us with just the grace we need at just the time we need it and just the way we need it, that we will be able to be reconcilers for Christ in a polarized and broken nation. We know that the coming days will be tense. We know there are threats of violence. We're not sure what's going to happen. But we know you, and we give you thanks that you are still God, Jesus is still Lord, and the Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit in all things, at all times. Amen and amen.
Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good. Good, oh, you are. never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. We know, Lord, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. We trust you.
Thank you, band. So good to have them back and to be back here in the Wilson Activity Center for worship for a few weeks. It's good to see all of you. I know I can't see you face to face, but believe me, I picture you in my heart, and I look out into this room and I see you. I see that you're here. Today, as we continue to worship, I want to remind you, if you'll like, subscribe if you're on YouTube, share if you're on Facebook or YouTube, our service this morning. That will help us to build our viewership and continue to grow the church, believe it or not, through this time of pandemic. And also, I invite you, during the sermon, at any time that something comes to mind that you'd like to respond to, please do. Please make a comment, and we'll be able to see those and respond to you. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. Sorry about that. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples as Jesus walked by. John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard that what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, what word would you use to describe the week we just lived through? Surprising? Unsettling? Disturbing? My personal choice would be disorienting. My internal compass feels a lot like the one that was on my grandpa's dashboard growing up. It's there and it works, but the events of this week have it sloshing around and spinning wildly so that at times it seems of little use. Something has shifted in the last several days. And I feel just a slight bit dizzy. Now, God's calling sometimes reaches into our lives with that important question of purpose. I think the poet Mary Oliver put this calling so well in her poem, The Summer Day. When after contemplating nature and her place in it, she wrote, Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We all find ourselves asking that question from time to time, especially at the beginning of a new year. What is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? But there are other times when God's calling comes to us as well. God's calling can also come at a time when we need to get our bearings, during times of disorientation and crisis. Then the question is the same one that John's disciples asked Jesus the day he caught them following him and asked them what they wanted. At first, their answer seems a little strange. Rabbi, where are you staying? Yet Jesus invited them, come and see. Now, I've often noticed that the idea of place and the question of where is asked often in Scripture. And especially during times of disorientation. Think back to the story of Adam and Eve. As soon as they ate the apple, they noticed they were naked. They sewed together clothes made of fig leaves and then hid from God. In not too much time, God came round, calling their names and asking, Where are you? Now, I think God already knew that they had worked themselves straight into the proverbial ditch. So I think that God was asking about more than location. Where are you? Are you still with me? Where are you? Do you trust me? I think God was searching out whether or not they would admit that they were lost and suddenly afraid and very much uncomfortable. Yet they would not. They whined. They blamed. They scratched the whelps where the fig leaves had rubbed them raw. But they never admitted that they were lost. But think back, my friends. In those moments when pride or arrogance or fear kept Adam and Eve from admitting their need, God was gracious. God found them. God gave them clothing. God even provided a place for them to live. Because that's the God that we worship, a God who steps in to our disorientation and our sin to reorient and save us. The meaning of the word orientation comes from the Latin orientum, which is a word meaning east, the place where the sun rises each day. For us as Christians, when we face east, we also face the Holy Land and Jerusalem, the place where Jesus walked. When we are oriented, we know where we are, what is important, and what we need to do next. And I think that it's Jesus' invitation that allows us to find our way and even our purpose on this morning. Come and see, he says. Come and see. Spend time with me. Listen to me. And you will discover your home. Your compass will stop spinning. I will be your North Star. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Several times this past week, I read or heard people proclaim something like, Americans don't have a political problem, we have a spiritual problem. Now, insofar as all political problems, I think, are symptoms of our spiritual disorientation, I agree with the statement. You and I live in the midst of spiritual crisis all the time. And in fact, we will continue to live in the midst of spiritual crisis until that day comes when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is just the sea, or should I say, the swamp we swim in. But in the meantime, we disciples must get busy doing what it is that we were called to do, to make disciples. And even as I read this story from John this week, through the haze of my disorientation because of the pandemic and the bloody insurrection and the fierce polemic going on all around me, I realized that John was calling us back to that very basic and important teaching. Make disciples. And here's some examples of how that might go. First, we see Andrew and that unnamed disciple who are seeking and searching after God. Those are the kind of people that you and I can simply point toward Christ and they will follow. The best way for us to do that is simply to bring that person along. Help them to see the connection between their longing and what Christ can offer. These kind of seekers will accept Jesus' invitation at face value. And they often become the most excited and engaged of church members because they are so relieved and so grateful to have found what it was that they were looking for. And then there's that story of Andrew bringing Simon to Jesus. And we have no idea what Simon's attitude was, whether he was looking for the Messiah or just kind of hanging around fishing. But he went with his brother, perhaps out of respect, perhaps out of curiosity. Whatever it was that led him there, his life was transformed. He received a new name, a new identity. He would no longer simply be Simon. Now he was Cephas, Peter the Rock. And while we know that Peter's transformation was not complete in that moment, we would see Peter rebuke and betray and grieve Jesus. But Peter would never turn back. He gave his allegiance to Christ, and he would always claim the name of the one who had claimed him. And then Jesus went to Galilee. I love the way that this story is told by John when Jesus sees Philip. He just marches up to Philip where he is and invites Philip to come and follow. And Philip does. You see, Jesus meets us where we are. And we can meet people where they are and offer them the saving grace of Christ. Well, once Philip was decided, then he went to Nathanael and told Nathanael about Jesus. But in Nathanael, we see someone who wasn't quite ready. He had questions. He wasn't sure if he would commit. But Philip didn't give up. For Philip had learned in that short amount of time the power of an invitation. So first he invited Nathanael to come and see. And when Nathanael resisted, he simply said, "Well, come and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it, but come and see for yourself." And we know the rest of that story. Discipleship, at its most basic, begins with an invitation to come and see God's radical hospitality that is offered to all of us through Christ Jesus. Some go looking for it out of need or curiosity. The church must also, though, be looking for them. We must have our radar up and our ears open and our eyes ready to see those who are around us who are hungry for truth. Because brothers and sisters, we alone have the bread of life. Others will come because we invite them. And we know that Christ will welcome them. I think this is my story. I didn't know I needed Jesus until I met him through some friends who invited me to church. And once I got there and I spent a little time with this crazy group of people, I realized that their lives were very different from mine. There was a quality of hope about them, a sense of peace and security that I was missing. And above all, they seemed so at home together in the church. I followed them, and Christ transformed me. Not all at once, but day by day, as I offer myself to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to pretend that everyone who we invite will respond with excitement and joy. You know that from your own experience, that there are those who will question and doubt and argue. But our job remains the same. Simply invite. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come, you might be surprised. For you see, you and I are not responsible for their response, only for offering them the opportunity. And we will trust in Christ to do the rest. There is no doubt that these are difficult days. They're disorienting for us as American Christians. They're disorienting for us who belong to the church and are discovering new ways to be in ministry. But we have a light to follow. We have a hope that cannot be taken away from us. And we have invitations to make. Come. Come and see. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., our prayers will be offered as a guided by prayers that Martin Luther King prayed. And as I did this study, I was touched and felt the power of the Holy Spirit, because his prayers, written so many years ago in a very different context, seem to fit and be exactly right for us today. So will you join me in prayer? Eternal God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts, souls, and minds, and we have not loved our neighbors as Christ loved us. We have all too often lived by our own selfish impulses rather than by the life of sacrificial love as revealed in Christ. We often give in order to receive. We love our friends and hate our enemies. We go the first mile but dare not travel the second. We forgive but dare not forget. And so as we look within ourselves, we are confronted with the appalling fact that the history of our lives is the history of eternal revolt against you. Oh God, have mercy on us. Forgive us for what we could have been but failed to be. Give us the courage to do your will. Give us devotion to love your will. O Creator God, in you alone we find peace and security. We pray this day for all sorts and conditions of people. May your saving health be known in all nations. May your church be guided by your Spirit, that all who call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold faith in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We pray for all those who are in any way afflicted or distressed in mind or body. We name before you Clifford Smith, Jesslyn Sinkhorn, June Glazier, Nate Hill, Craig Cogbill, Jean Beth Hill, Gwen Throne, and John Housewith. Give them patience under suffering and the power of endurance until in your will they are made whole. O God, we thank you for the lives of great saints and prophets in the past who have revealed to us that we can stand up amid the problems and difficulties and trials of life and not give in. Grant that we will go on with proper faith and proper determination of will so that we will be able to make a creative contribution to this world. Make us willing to do your will, come what may. Give us renewed confidence in nonviolence and the way of love taught to us by the Christ who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Worthy is the
Well, friends, we pray that this time of worship has been a blessing to you. As we prepare to leave this space this morning, we invite you to invite a friend to come and see. Come and see just what's going on here at Asbury United Methodist Church as we as a loving family of faith face into a new frontier as Christians here in America. As we leave our time together this morning, receive this benediction. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace.